Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
Amen. Well, we're going to look for a few moments this morning at the life and testimony of Stephen as we find it recorded in the 6th and 7th chapters of the book of Acts. With the exception of two brief mentions of Stephen in two other verses later on in the book of Acts, Luke gives us the entire story of Stephen in these two chapters, chapter 6 and chapter 7. But it's enough. It's enough to leave an indelible mark upon our own Christian lives, because in Stephen, in his life and his ministry and his testimony, we see the highest character and qualities of the Christian life. In Acts chapters 6 and 7, we see Stephen rise up from being a humble servant of tables in the daily distribution of food to become a mighty preacher of the Word of God and the first Christian martyr. And I want us to look now at the beginning of chapter 6, and then the end of chapter 7. We begin with chapter 6, verse 1 and following to get the setting of what was happening in the church at this time and how Stephen was chosen. And we're going to see many times the use of the word full. And so let's look now at chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution, meaning the daily distribution of food that was a ministry going on there in the church. And then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then down a few verses later in verse 8 of chapter 6, we read, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." And then when we come to chapter 7, Stephen starts to give a rather lengthy message concerning God's dealing with the nation of Israel. And I guarantee you that the message that he gave was not a seeker-friendly message. It was the kind of sermon that can cause a person to be killed. And here's how Stephen concluded his sermon to the people. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. And here's the response now to this message that Stephen was giving to the people. When they heard these things, begins with verse 51 in Acts chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Do you suppose that they were angry? But he, Stephen, being full, here it is again, the word full. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." This, my friends, was more than they could take. This was the last straw. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep, meaning that he died. And so, as we look at Stephen and the situation surrounding his life and his ministry, we see the church in its infancy in the aftermath of Pentecost. And when Jesus left the church, he didn't leave the church with a manual on church governance, on how to do church governance. He left them with the Holy Spirit that would guide them into all truth. And it was a learn-as-you-go situation here. And so, as the church grew and incorporated individuals from all walks of life, there were some problems that began to confront the church that, if not for the wise and prompt action on the part of the apostles, it would have fractured and divided the church into many different factions. One of the initial problems was that the Hellenistic Jews, who were foreign-born, were at odds with the native Hebrews because they felt that their widows were being slighted in the daily provisions of food. And coupled together with that was the fact that the apostles were neglecting their primary calling of prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. And you know, today, when we look at the church, and when I talk about the church this morning, I'm talking about the churches that claim to be Christian churches, churches all across our nation. When you look at the church today, the modern day church, there is more machinery. There is more programming. There is more prosperity in the church than ever before. But the modern day church, I believe, has often neglected the most important thing of all, prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. And folks, listen, I don't believe the devil minds all that much if we do important things, so long as we don't do the most important things. And the most important thing is prayer and the ministry of the Word of God to give the whole counsel of God's Word. And you say, "Pastor, this thing about this food ministry that the church had, wasn't that important?" Oh, yes, it was very important. It was absolutely necessary. It was a great ministry for those who were called to do that ministry. But for the apostles, it was not good because it kept them from doing the most important thing that God had called them to do, which was prayer and the ministry of God's word. And so the apostles said to the congregation, they said to the people, it's not good for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. So choose from among yourselves 7 men of good reputation to do this work. And we will dedicate ourselves to prayer and the ministry of God's word. And when they said this, it was agreeable to everyone. And the apostle said, choose these men, 7 men for this ministry. And they did that. It was agreeable to all of them. And the first and most obvious person was Stephen. And the Bible uses the word full several times to describe Stephen. Stephen gives us 5 factors of fullness that we would do well to seek in our own lives. And you know, as I developed this message and as I prayed about this, as we are here at the beginning of a new year, 2025, it's my prayer that we would desire fullness in God. Do you want fullness in your Christian life? Do you want First Baptist to be full or empty? Do you desire to be full or empty? I had to ask myself that question this week, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I want to be full. I hope it's your desire today to be full with all the fullness that God desires to give us. 5 factors of fullness. Number 1, Stephen was full of faith. That's where it begins, right there. Full of faith. You won't get to first base with God without faith. I want you to look at this verse in the faith chapter, down in verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You will never please God without faith. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Are you full of faith today? Are you seeking God in your faith? That's the beginning point. What is the goal of it? The goal is that we would reach unity in the faith. As Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 13, we would all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness. How many of you know today there's fullness in Jesus? There's fullness there. We're in Him. He's in us. We should desire to be full, and it begins with faith. There's a proverbial statement that says the first step costs, but the last step counts. We are running a race. We're running with endurance. We want to finish that race, and to do that, it takes faith. Yes, we want to leave the footprints of faith as we follow, as we're stepping toward that ultimate goal. God has given to everyone a measure of faith, but that faith has to be activated. That faith has to be exercised just as you would exercise a muscle. We have to use our faith, and we should desire to be full of faith. Stephen not only had faith, but the Bible tells us that he was full of faith. And they chose Stephen. Verse 5. Sorry, Jamie, I got out of order there. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. So Stephen was full of faith. Secondly, follow this now. He was full of wisdom. Look at this. But the Spirit gave Stephen such wisdom that when he spoke, they could not refute him. Folks, don't miss this. Look at this. Who gave Stephen wisdom? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God gave Stephen wisdom. He didn't learn these things from a book. Wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God gives us wisdom. You know, I've known a lot of Christian people down through the years. I've known a lot of people who had quite a lot of faith. You know, talking about being full of faith, there are a lot of people that have faith. And they seem to be exuberant about their faith. But often, they're very lacking in wisdom. They're lacking in discernment. Faith and reason aren't opposed to one another. Jesus said, the people of this world are much more shrewd. Shrewd is just another word for wise judgment, discernment. The people of this world are more shrewd in handling their affairs than the people who belong to the light. That ought not to be. We ought to be desirous of having not only the fullness of faith, but the fullness of wisdom operating in our lives. Do you desire wisdom this year, 2025? Do you desire wisdom in your Christian life, in your finances, in your family, in the future that will unfold before you? Are you seeking God in wisdom? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. Will God give you wisdom? If you desire wisdom, he gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. Stephen was a man full of faith, full of wisdom. And then look at this. Number 3. The Bible tells us he was full of power. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen was full of spiritual dynamite. That's what that word is, dunamis, dynamite, power. And Stephen was full of power. It wasn't just talk in his life, quoting little statements or whatever. He had power, and the people could see the power that he had. Same thing for the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he said, our gospel did not come to you in word only. You know, if I stand up here every Sunday and just give words, what is it? How many of you would like to see more power in God's church? More people getting saved. More people being delivered from the bondages of this world. As it was on the day of Pentecost. Paul said, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. I don't hear I'm talking about this, the word power. When you look at the church, and as I said, I'm just talking about generically, you know, the church, buildings and places that come under the heading of Christian? Is that a word you would use to describe the modern day church? The word power? Is the church full of power? No, the church is full of prosperity in America. The church is full of programming. But where's the power? That's what we're lacking, folks. We need to get plugged in. Amen. Is anybody with me, or am I just preaching to myself today? Don't we need power? You need power to live the Christian life. Maybe that's one of your problems. You're trying to do it yourself. You understand what the principles of Christianity are, and you're trying to pull yourself up, and you're trying to do it yourself. But it comes through the power that God places in us. Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses." Pentecost was a day of power when God poured out His Spirit. It's not just some historical event that happened. God is still the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The experience of Pentecost is just as real today. And when it happened there, what happened when God poured out His Spirit and there was power? People got saved. People got delivered. The church grew because there was power. Stephen was a man full of power, and he preached in power, even though he realized that every word, every sentence that he was preaching was becoming a stone in the hands of his enemies. But you know what? Here's the deal. Jesus said, people may kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. They had the power to pick up stones and to stone Stephen to death, but they had no power over his soul. They had no power over the vision of Jesus that he had in his life. No one could take that from him. Not even being stoned to death. That leads me to the fourth point that I want to make today. Stephen was full of grace. You say, Pastor, how do you know he was full of grace? Only someone filled with the grace of Jesus could forgive those that were stoning him and taking his life. Jesus is the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. What I want you to see here, please don't miss this. Stephen is a type of Christ. Because when they took Jesus and they nailed him to a cross, Jesus made seven statements from the cross. And toward the end, he prayed, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." Stephen said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen said, "Lord, do not hold this sin. Do not charge them with this sin." That's where grace comes in. Has anybody ever hurt you, harmed you in a serious way? You struggle with forgiving? God will give us the grace to forgive. We're saved by grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul said to the church, "You are the letter written on our hearts, known and read by all men." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Jamie, I'm giving you a real challenge today. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. I was looking this week at Acts 4:13, and it says there in that verse, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. When people saw, I truly believe that when they were stoning Stephen to death and he was saying these words, Saul, the Apostle Paul, was standing there. People could see the glory, the grace of Almighty God on the face. His face was like the face of an angel. And they could see that he belonged to Jesus. What an impact that had upon all who were there that day. What a testimony. What a testimony Stephen leaves us. And so here's the last part of my message today. And this is the key to all of it. This is the glue that holds it all together. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Are you today? Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. See, this is what this message today is all about. It's about being filled with the Spirit. The experience of Pentecost that filled Stephen with faith. See, Stephen was full of faith. He was full of wisdom. He was full of power. He was full of grace. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit, something that's real. We're not talking about religion. Something that's real. I don't know about you, but I want something real. I want to be full. How about you? I want to be filled with the presence of Jesus in my life, the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us to have a time of prayer here in just a moment. Because maybe you came today and all this weather and stuff, and maybe there's a family problem in your family or someone that you know that's very ill, or you have some kind of work problem or some kind of burden that's just beating you down and the devil working against you. I'd like for us to have a time of prayer. There's a smaller group here today. Just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. But I close with this, and then we're going to pray. And I would like maybe our musicians and one of our song leaders to lead us as we wait on the Lord. But look at this. I close with this. Words of Jesus, the words of Jesus. So I say to you, ask. What will happen if you ask? What will happen? Ask, and it will be given to you. Do you have faith to believe? What have you been asking God for? Maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe you need a miracle in your life. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And I might point out here something that you don't see right there on the surface. But if you look at the tenses of these words, it's ask and keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking until there's an answer. And God may say no. I mean, that's one of the answers in prayer that you might receive. God may say no. He may say wait. He may say yes. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, Will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.